Well, hello, everyone. I'm Dr. James Dobson, and I have some good news to share. One of Family Talk's most loyal friends is aware that this ministry has struggled financially this year, and this generous donor has made a $200,000 matching grant to help carry us into the summer. This means that any gift, and I do mean a gift of any size, that we receive between now and May 31st up to the grant amount of $200,000 will be doubled. If you're able to make a contribution of any amount toward this matching grant, it will help keep us on target to continue the development of the James Dobson Family Institute. You know, I've been fighting for the family for more than 40 years now, and I'm not about to stop. You can make your donation securely online at drjamesdobson.org, or if you prefer, you can pledge your support by calling us at 877-732-6825. That number again is 877-732-6825. Thank you for your prayers and support of this ministry, and God's blessings to you all.
Hi, this is Johnny Erickson Tata, and you're listening to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Well, welcome everyone to Family Talk. This is Dr. James Dobson, and if you were listening to the broadcast yesterday, you know that I had asked my colleague, Dr. Tim Clinton, to be in attendance at an event celebrating, if you can use that word, Johnny Erickson Tata's 50th year in a wheelchair. I admire this woman as much as anybody in the country. And she and Ken have been great friends to Shirley and me. And so it's a pleasure to have Johnny back on our broadcast again and to have my friend and colleague Tim Clinton do the interview. Yesterday, we heard the first half of his interview with Johnny, and today we're going to hear the concluding portion of that interview. They were talking about the subject, when is it right to die? That's a morose topic, but it's one we ought to talk about because in our culture, people have begun thinking that it really doesn't matter. When you get tired of living, you just take your own life. And that's not the divine plan. He controls the days of our lives. So with no further ado, I'm going to let you hear the second half of an interview that occurred just several weeks ago. And I think you will find this meaningful.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors, sitting in for Dr. Dobson today here on Family Talk. I'm honored also to be with a true champion of the faith. Her name, you know her well, Johnny Erickson Tata. Hey, Johnny, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely, Tim. And thanks to the listeners at Family Talk for tuning in today.
You know, it's interesting. We were chatting just before we got started with the interview a little bit about how there's some debate around the term terminal illness now.
Yes.
Can you explain that?
Well, I was just reading a report that came out from the organization, quote, Compassion for Dying. It's a Right to Life group in Oregon, which was key and instrumental in passing the physician-assisted suicide law there in Oregon some years ago. And the question was posed to this group, what is the definition of terminal illness? And the point of discussion put before this group was, if a person has a terminal illness and chooses not to treat it, does that qualify him for physician-assisted suicide under the terms of the Oregon law?
Wow.
And the response was, well, if a person has, let's say, muscular dystrophy and refuses to treat it, yes, that would be considered a terminal illness. Or if a person has multiple sclerosis, Lou Gehrig's disease, these now are being considered, disabilities are now being considered as possible terminal illnesses if the despairing person, the depressed person, chooses not to treat its illness. But if a person has MD or MS or ALS, the question may not be for them, I want to die. The question may be, I'm depressed. Help me. I don't want to die.
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, when I was first
injured. There's such a fine line here.
Exactly. When I was first injured 50 years ago, I begged my friends to bring in their mother's sleeping pills. I wanted my girlfriend from high school to slash my wrists. I could not bear the thought of living for the, you're kidding me? Living for the rest of my life without use of my hands or legs? I'm not going to do that. I can't do that. I mean, the thought made me literally physically ill. I vomited at the idea. And my problem wasn't my quadriplegia. My problem was my clinical depression. And that can be treated. Quadriplegia might not be able to be treated, but my clinical depression could be treated. And it was treated. And I came up out of that, now what, so many more years later, so grateful that there were no right-to-die advocates, Jack Kevorkians, doctor-assisted death movements. I'm so grateful that the trend then was not, you're better off dead than disabled. I'm here today to thank God for that.
And it's scary when you really think about the slippery slope that this can take us on.
Well, we're already on that slippery slope. And proof of that is this recent dialogue that is now being carried out in Oregon as to the definition of a terminal illness. It is now including people with qualified disabilities.
You're listening to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, sitting behind the mic today for Dr. Dobson. Our special in-studio guest, one of my favorites, Johnny Erickson Tata. Johnny, this is a, like we said, a difficult, challenging subject, but it's in every home. We're all living in these places, or we will be. You hear what I'm saying? And these kind of questions have got to be asked and answered. There are a couple more terms I wanted to throw out because these all feed into this, and that is quality of life has now become a real important thing to understand, and the debate on right to die. Who and when and how does that decision get made? You know, Ecclesiastes said there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. The only reason we're having this conversation is because this is where we're at.
That's right. And the Bible speaks to this whole idea of, quote, mercy killing, euthanasia, call it what you wish. Even the prophet Elijah, you know, just cried out,
I want to die.
Take my life, God.
Yeah.
Take it.
There's no one around.
And then there's the example of King Saul when he was in battle and fell on his sword and was dying. He begged his armor bearer to run him through. And the armor bearer did that. And when it was later reported to King David,
They killed him.
You know, life for a life. So the Bible speaks rather clearly about mercy killing. Even when we look at the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill, that obviously includes the idea of self-murder beside murdering someone else. So the Bible says time and again, choose life. If you are going to err at all, if there's any question,
choose life.
If you are standing by the hospital bedside of your loved one and you are confused, err on the side of life. That's always the best thing to do. Also, it's also good to get very close to the facts of the terminal illness or the disability or the end-of-life issues that are confronting you. And the best way to do that is to make certain that you are engaged with a physician who shares your life values. You want to make certain that the physician who's calling the shots is someone who has a strong sense of the sanctity of life, that life is worth preserving, that life is worth living, and to err on the side of life.
Johnny, what do you think about heaven?
Oh, my goodness. I long and look forward to the day when I'm going to be with Jesus. And people might think that having a new body is my goal and how wonderful that'll be. But honestly, Tim, to have a new heart, to have a heart free of anxiety, doubts, fears of the future, worry, fretting, cherishing inflated ideas of my own importance, just on and on. To have a free heart of sin is just, to me, the best. And when we think of death, yes, it's an enemy. It's the last great enemy. But death can be good in that it is the passage which escorts us into the arms of Christ. And so of all the things we can discuss surrounding when it's right to die, it certainly isn't right to die until you've had every chance to consider Christ as your Lord and Savior. That is what makes death a good death.
That doesn't mean that we don't sorrow. Look at Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus.
Yep.
He wept. He has been touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows. He knows what the brokenness looks like and feels like.
And it's been a hard 50 years in this wheelchair, I will be the first to admit. I long and look forward to that day. I don't want to hasten it. I want to squeeze every ounce of ministry effort that I possibly can out of this quadriplegic body that I possibly can to ensure that other people don't choose the despairing route, don't do anything to hasten their own demise, but find that life is worth living. That quality of life is best answered in understanding how sanctified life is and can be.
You know, Johnny, when people see you, they think about you, they think, she has got such joy. How does she do that? They miss, though, a piece. It's not easy.
It isn't easy. But, Tim, there's something about, I don't know, every day I've got to die to my own wants and wishes. I'm losing supination in my right arm, and so I can't quite feed myself as easily as I used to. And I've got to die to that. I've got to let that go. I've got to put it behind me. And it's so hard. But every day that I die to something else that I need to let go of and hold lightly, I am better united with Christ, the man of sorrows, acquainted with my suffering and my hardships, and to see that my afflictions are intertwined so powerfully with his, it helps my story not be small and suffocated and isolated and little. No, I'm suddenly a part of the big story of God's redemption, and that I fit into Christ's afflictions. I fill up in my body what is lacking in Christ's afflictions, and that binds me to my Savior in such a poignant, powerful way. I wouldn't trade it for any amount of walking or any amount of comfort from my chronic pain. If it draws me closer to Jesus, then hey, I'll take it, because he's ecstasy beyond compare, and it is worth anything to be his friend. And I don't want to minimize my eternal state by complaining. No, I want to build my eternal estate by having confidence that he, if he loved me enough to die for me, then he can be trusted with the suffering I'm yet to go through.
You know, Johnny, there's a piece of me that wants to think I've crossed in that direction too, but I think it's maybe a little far from me yet. I want to avoid pain.
Don't we all?
God, I don't
it's
want,
natural.
I don't want that. Remove it from me. Get it away from me. God, don't let me learn the hard way. But I always wind up having to learn the hard way, Johnny. But I'm telling you, pain tends to blind the eye. Yeah. It's easy to get confused. And then you read scriptures like the Apostle Paul. When you were talking, Romans 8 came into my mind, where Paul said, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that one day will be revealed in us." It's like, how did Paul do that? How does Johnny do that?
You know, it only takes one person, though, Tim, to set the example. Titus chapter 2 tells us that we are to be examples of good. I mean, consider the movie Braveheart, most perhaps of our...
One of my favorite movies.
One of my favorite movies, too. And there's this scene. It's right before the Battle of Stirling. And the Scots are lined up against the English army. And they are way outnumbered. And they feel demoralized and defeated before hardly a person has even stepped on the battlefield. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, comes Wallace riding up from the rear on horseback with his band of men, you know, screaming and yelling with their faces painted blue. And just the sight, just them showing up, gives heart to the Scots, and they take the field and they win the day. And that just goes to show, sometimes all it takes is one person to help others get up in the morning and win the day, to have the courage to go forward into their own suffering. And I think that's why it's so important when Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 says, do everything without grumbling, without complaining. We kind of look at that and go, what? Is the Bible serious? Well, yes, it is, because the cosmic stakes are really that high. And I think it elevates even the lowliest, seemingly most insignificant Christian who wrestles with affliction. It elevates him or her onto this incredible battlefield on which the mightiest forces of the universe are converging in warfare. And they have a chance, by not complaining and persevering, to influence untold numbers of thousands of others just by having the courage to win the day, to show up and to arrive and to do it with a smile. That's a great calling. That's a high calling. That's a wonderful calling.
In counseling, we call that the ministry of presence, too.
Yeah, there you go.
Being there. You know, I'm reminded, too, of Paul in his pain when he said, "And he who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things?" Mm-hmm. There's a God who understands that despair, that brokenness.
And the all things are courage, perseverance, patience, long-suffering, compassion, goodness, kindness, self-control. We could go on and on. I mean, these are the attributes of the Lord Jesus. These are the things that are worth hanging on for. And when God tells us in Jeremiah chapter 32, when speaking of his own people, he says, "I will do good to them with all my heart and soul." That's the good he's talking about. The good of imparting his own character into ours. That's a wonderful experience to have that happen every day, as you say, no to complaining and yes to persevering.
The psalmist said, our God's a good God.
Isn't he?
And he'll go with us even unto death.
Yeah.
And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear any evil, for you're with me. Johnny, no doubt there may be some right now with a lot of fear in their heart or in the moment. They have a medical power of attorney. They're facing this kind of predicament right now. They're in this fine line between prolonging death and sustaining life. Can you speak to us on that personal level in those moments? My dad knew there was no brain activity anymore. Everything was gone. My mother was on complete life support. And yes, we want to hang on.
Absolutely. And boy, I would encourage, as families are discussing this very issue around their kitchen table, around the dinner table, make certain that you are clear on the wants and wishes of your loved ones, your elderly parent, your husband, your wife. Make certain that you understand what your loved one's wishes are about end-of-life choices, because that's so important nowadays when especially hospitals require advanced directives so that they do have on record people's wants and wishes. This is important. It's an uncomfortable topic. Nobody wants to talk about that time when they're going to be faced with such decisions, but these conversations have to be made. And secondly, go to the book of James. We're told in Scripture that if any one of us lacks wisdom, he has only to ask God, who gives generously and freely to all men. And God is willing to give hand-tailored wisdom to specific hand-tailored situations. You know, Tim, what you were sharing about your mother a moment ago reminds me so much of how we dealt with my father's death. 90 years old, a series of strokes, took his strong body, made it very frail very quickly. There were other secondary complications, blood infections, lung infections. And it was clear to us that he was entering the process of dying. And we had to make some tough choices, but we knew my dad. He had written down his wishes. We trusted our family doctor and not the nursing home administrator. And we went ahead and made a decision on behalf of my father that we thought was wise, was compassionate, because it was clear he had entered the process of dying. I can't take that template that I just described for my father and lay it over your family situation or anybody else's situation. But there are good guidelines in Scripture and common sense signs to follow that enable people to make wise decisions. But probably the best one is make certain you have a physician who shares your life values. And pray and look to the Word of God for that wisdom you need.
My wife, Julie, who loves you, Johnny, and we've spent many times, moments together.
Yep.
Julie tells a story of following the ambulance home from Duke University with her father in that ambulance. He was coming home for hospice care after a long battle with cancer. And I won't forget the day he went home to be with the Lord. We were at her mother's house. He's in hospice care. There's old hymns playing in the background, his favorite. And he had been laboring. He couldn't sleep. It was like 24, 36 plus hours. He just belabored, was holding on. You could tell he was wrestling. And they were saying, what are we going to do? And they said, Tim, can you go up and talk to him? And I went and grabbed Clay by the hand and leaned down and said, Clay, you can rest. I promise you, I'll take care of them. It'll be okay. It was like he squeezed my hand and slipped into the presence of the Lord.
Wow.
Right there in that moment. And there was peace.
Yeah.
There was peace. Thank God for his grace. Thank God, like Dr. Dobson was saying at the beginning of the program, there will be a day. Mm-hmm. Like my dad said, Tim, it's because of him, meaning because of our relationship with God and Christ, I'll see you again.
That's the most critical thing, isn't it? That we make certain our loved one knows the Lord Jesus, which, Tim, perhaps may be the best reason to always err on the side of life. If you are uncertain about where your family member, where your loved one is heading, extend that life as long as possible so that that individual might have every chance to resolve any personal conflicts with the family, get his life in order, take care of any loose ends that have yet to be tied up, conversations that need to be had, forgiveness that needs to be bestowed or received, and just make certain that that person is confident that he's made his peace with God. Probably the most important ingredient when we make those, have those end-of-life discussions around the bedside.
Johnny, we've talked about a really tough topic last 2 days. It's been an honor to have you. I want you to close out this little mini-series, if you will, by speaking again into the lives of our listeners, many who have wept with us as we talked about our stories, because they're living it right now. They're holding on. They're claiming the scriptures. They want God's grace. They're crying their eyes out. And can you give them a closing word?
I will. I'm going to pray for our friends right now who are struggling to hold life together by their fingers and their toes. The pain is so bad. Their minds are so bewildered. Their hearts are so confused. The good word is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where it says, though we are handicapped on all sides, we are not crushed. Though we are perplexed, we are not in despair. Though we are persecuted, we are not abandoned. Though we are knocked down, we are not knocked out. For every day we experience something of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is something of suffering, so that in turn we might experience the power of the life of Jesus in these bodies of ours. That is a good word from Scripture, and it's a word to hang on to. So, friend, when you wake up tomorrow morning and you're still bewildered, you're still in pain, do what I do and say, I can't do this. I don't know how to live this way. I can't handle it, but I can do all things through you, Jesus, as you strengthen me. That's a biblical way to wake up, and that is the only way to wake up in the morning, needing Jesus desperately. And he'll show you the way after that.
That's our hope.
Yep.
Together. Johnny, it's always fun to be with you. Hey, for our listeners, can you tell us how they could find out more about you, your amazing ministry, Johnny and Friends, and how they can get a copy of this book?
Yeah. Well, again, I wrote the book because it's a difficult season we live in this country with many questions about end-of-life issues. And I want people to be able to make those decisions wisely. And the book is called When Is It Right to Die? And can be found on our website at johnnyandfriends.org or on amazon.com. And I would be so honored, so grateful for people to have this as a valuable resource in their home for such time as when they will need to have those kitchen table discussions or even hospital bedside ones. Tim, thank you for giving me a chance to share my heart, open my heart about my own father and about hearing about your mother as well. These are the precious moments that take theoretical discussions like when is it right to die and bring it home.
Much love to you, Johnny, from Dr. Dobson, Shirley, my wife Julie, and me.
Thank you much.
This is Roger Marsh, and I hope today's Family Talk broadcast featuring Johnny Erickson Tata was impactful and meaningful to you. Go to today's broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org to learn more about her ministry or find out how you can support that ministry. You'll also be able to find a link for the updated version of her book, When Is It Right to Die, there as well, and you'll also find information on how to purchase a copy. Find all of that and more when you visit drjamesdobson.org and then click onto the Broadcast tab. We love hearing how Family Talk has impacted you and your family, so if you have been moved by Johnny Erickson Tata's words today, call our listener feedback line at 844-823-2669. You can feel free to leave your comments about our ministry or share a testimony, even if you'd like to make a suggestion for an upcoming broadcast. Again, the toll-free number to call is 844-823-2669. You can also connect with us online by emailing feedback@myfamilytalk.com. That's the word feedback@myfamilytalk.com. Thanks for joining us for today's program, and thanks for your consistent prayers and financial support of this ministry. I'm Roger Marsh. Hope the rest of your day is blessed. Be sure to join us again tomorrow for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.